Good morning to everyone. Good to see everyone out this morning. If you would, go ahead and open in your Bibles with me this morning to Titus chapter 2. We'll begin in looking at verse 14 for a lesson this morning, talking about the subject of zeal. Again, as mentioned, traveled in yesterday and made it safely in and glad to, looking forward to this meeting. And hopefully we'll be able to reach the lost and be able to get an understanding of how we can better equip ourselves and be in better servants of God's will in all things. I want to consider in opening up this meeting this morning, looking at Titus chapter 2. And we'll begin with verse 14, talking again about the subject of zeal. And it says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." Zeal is needed in our life. It's something that as a Christian we have to have. Now we may ask a question this morning, and I was teaching this class recently in one of our young adult classes, and we asked the question of what does zeal mean to you? And we got a few different responses, and I want to share some of those with you today. First of all, looking at the American Heritage Dictionary, a definition of zeal is enthusiastic and diligent devotion as to a cause. And some other definitions that some of the kids had used in this class, a strong desire, passion for a cause, excitement, to be fervent, or to be hot. You know, all these words that we mention here in these few definitions of zeal kind of give a better understanding of what zeal is. You know, we look at that word and we talk about zealous, and sometimes we mix it up and we see, well, jealous is the same, similar to the same thing. But they're two different, completely different meanings. Zeal is something that should make us excited, being passionate for God. And so as we look at this morning, I want you to consider an example with me. Now, again, as I was telling Sister Hamilton this morning, I didn't like history when I was in school. I never had a true appreciation for it. But then as I graduated and started getting more involved with stuff and reading material, I got to have a better understanding, a better appreciation for history. And this drive down, I went across to Pennsylvania, down to Maryland and Washington, D.C., and then across. First time I've ever been to Maryland or Washington. And it was just being able to see signs, being able to see the atmosphere. It was really nice. I got a better appreciation for it even more now, being able to be the first Sanders going through Washington and through Maryland. But studying about history, 1849, if you know that year, beginning of the California Gold Rush. And what I want you to consider is, in looking at this example of the California Gold Rush, is that in 1849, here's the big rush of gold over on the West Coast. And people on the East Coast hear about it, read about it, learn about it, they get excited. They become passionate for a shot at gold. And what do? Well, they decide they want to move out west. People had jobs well established. They had their homes. They had everything well established there on the East Coast. And what do? They sell everything. They get rid of everything. And they go out to the West Coast. Why? Because they were excited. They were passionate for gold. Just a shot at it. They weren't going to be guaranteed anything out there on the West Coast. It was going to be, as we study about it more, it was a hard and treacherous trip just to get over there. But still, people had the excitement for gold. They were zealous. They had a strong desire. They were excited. They were fervent. They were devoted. They had the enthusiasm just for a shot at gold. In order for us to be effective as a whole in the congregation, we must be zealous. Zeal is something that is needed in order for us to be effective in our work for God. We have to be zealous as a whole congregation to reach the lost, to teach Bible classes, to go out and do whatever it takes to preach the gospel, to help someone realize their lost estate. This is something that should make us excited, to make us passionate, to get us going and working for God, to help one another grow spiritually. We're here this morning, gathered together, to help one another grow spiritually, to be encouraged by one another, to continue to work for God in this community. We're working as a whole and complete body. We read over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, how we're a whole, complete body, joined and fit together by what every joint supplies. Each of us have a special part. Each of us have a part in the work for God, and we have to be working as a whole and complete body. Now, I want you to consider, if we lack zeal, if we don't have the passion, if we don't have the assignment, if we don't have the enthusiasm, we'll be a church that's lukewarm or even spiritually dead. We have to be mindful of the importance of zeal in order to be an effective congregation. I want you to consider with me over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, looking at verse 58. Paul mentioning here, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Paul using some key words here, to be steadfast, to be immovable, to always abound in the work of the Lord. We have to strive to labor diligently in the Lord's work. This is part of our goal. This is part of our work for God, is that we have to be steadfast, being consistent, being persistent in our work for God. Now, for this morning, we need to have a fuel. In order for us to have this zeal to make us passionate for God, we need a fuel to ignite that zeal. What might that be? What is this fuel? Now, we were talking about reaching the lost and helping others know more about God and His will. But what's the fuel that causes us to be excited, to cause us to want to obey the gospel? Part of that in sharing with someone the good news. Fuel is heaven. Heaven needs to be our fuel. Heaven is what has caused us to give us an understanding of wanting and desiring to obey God's will. It has caused us to want to reach heaven as our home, and we're going to do whatever it takes to make us excited. Heaven is, God has given us His Son to make heaven possible for us. That should get us excited. That should get that zeal going and continuing to burn for us. Heaven always needs to be in the back of our mind and always focus right there. Of everything that we're doing is for the eternal life that we can have with God. Descriptions of heaven should cause us and desire us to go there. If you could go with me over to Matthew chapter 25. If you notice, I'm one person that, using the PowerPoint projector, I'm one that doesn't put the verses up there because I want people, I enjoy hearing pages turning as we turn in our Bibles. Because if I put something up there in error and we're just reading the sign, I could be doing something wrong. So I want you to open your Bibles with me and study along with me. There's a couple times where I've done that before, where I put verses up, but it's very rare. But in Matthew chapter 25, looking at verse 21, as we're studying and looking at this, the parable of the talents, verses 21, 30, 23, both talking about the ones who gain talents, who continue to improve, says, "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" Those that work diligently and steadfastly in the Lord's work will hear words of welcome. Those that obey God's will, those that continue to have that zeal and passion for God, in the end, you'll hear words of welcome. enter into the joy of your Lord. He says that to the one that also gained him 2 talents as well. But we notice in both those verses, they're both gaining and doing whatever they can in the work of the Lord. And then you drop down to Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, says, the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Descriptions of heaven, descriptions of words of welcome, should cause desire to want to go there. But I want you to consider as well, looking and saying here in Matthew chapter 25, this time looking at verse 30, as we look at the parable of the talents again, the one who had the 1 talent who decided to go bury the talent in the ground, Jesus, using this parable, points us as in casting an unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then you go to verse 41, it says, and he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And then verse 46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I want you to consider the descriptions of hell, of eternal punishment. Now, we're just touching base this morning. There are many other verses that we could go to, but just looking at these 3 verses, descriptions of hell should keep our zeal strong so that we avoid this place at all costs. And we have that desire to want to go and serve God to be able to have eternal life. We can see that both descriptions of heaven, descriptions of hell should keep our passion and our desire for God continuing to burn, to continue to be excited in our work for God. Knowing another thing to think about that should give us zeal is knowing that God offers his constant care. And that should give us a consistent zeal, knowing that God will always be there for us if we will just turn to him, and his care is always abounding if we will just look at that and be able to turn to that and understand that we have God with us always. 1 Peter chapter 5, looking at verse 7. Peter pointing out here, he says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Knowing that God has care and his care is always available should excite us, should give us that passion, should give us the understanding that we will always have God if we will turn to him, accept him, and obey his will, and his care will always be there for us if we will just go to him. With a strong zeal, we can recognize our role as a Christian also. Having that dedication to God, we can recognize that we do have a role as being a Christian. A whole, as we are talking about in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, a whole complete body is the only way to be successful in our zealous work. And we need everyone, here this morning, we need everyone to keep the zeal in the work for Christ. Because if we do that, we can and will accomplish great things. There are great things that we can do if we keep our zeal, we keep our focus, we do whatever we can to serve God and to be this whole and complete body working effectively together to be able to reach the lost and encourage and edify one another here. Now, I want you to consider with me just for a few moments this morning. We're going to look at some positive examples and some negative examples, both with zeal. Because we, again, as we're talking about this, we have to be weary of the fact that our zeal sometimes can be used with misplaced affection. But beginning point I want you to consider is looking at some positive examples, and I want you to go with me to Mark chapter 14. Beginning with verse 3. Mark chapter 14. Beginning with verse 3. It says, and being in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. And she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." They criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as memorial to her." I want you to consider the woman with the ointment. I want you to consider how the fact that this woman's love for the Lord found a way to express herself. Now notice, again, I want you to look at verse 8. And this is a key point in looking at this subject of zeal this morning. That first part. She has done what she could. Maybe it wasn't much. We look at the eyes, and we may have sometimes an example like, or an attitude like the apostles and disciples here. You could have given that to the poor. You could have sold that and given it the money away to the poor and done whatever you could with it. There were better things that you could have probably done in helping the poor. But notice what Jesus says. He says, "Surely I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her." She did what she could do. It pleased the Lord to the point where he has pointed out that wherever the gospel is preached, what she has done, she will be remembered for because she did what she could do. She had a zeal. She was passionate. She was doing whatever she could to help the Lord prepare his body for burial. And that was what she thought she could do best. And Jesus appreciated it and pointed this out, that she would never be forgotten of what she did. She did what she could do. We could say that she had zeal, that she was passionate, that she could do whatever was possible. Staying in Mark, this time in chapter 12, it's going a couple chapters back. I want you to consider the poor widow. Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 41. Says, "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who are rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make it quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance. But she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood.'" I want you to consider this morning, as we're looking at a few positive examples, I want you to consider this poor widow and her 2 mites. 2 mites. Now, I can't say the exact equivalency of what it is. Approximately 2 mites is less than a penny. What can you get for less than a penny? Or what could you get for a penny? When I was 20 years ago, when I was 6 years old, what I could get for a penny, I could go to the store. Remember those little Jolly Rancher candies? They used to sell those at the gas station right across the road in West Virginia where we were living at. You could get one for a penny, or you get 6 for a nickel. Not very much. Penny, you know, we think about how much times have changed over the last few years. The economy has changed. You can't even get that for a penny now. And here this poor widow had less than a penny, and she put that in there. What did Jesus do? Jesus, realizing this and witnessing this, he says, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. There were people going in, putting in more money than that. But notice what Jesus said, out of their abundance, they were doing this. They had plenty to do that. But this poor widow put in all that she had, not even enough to make a penny in our standards today. But yes, she was willing to give it all to the treasury, to the work of the Lord. She did all that she could do, putting in her whole livelihood. Jesus, again, blesses her for her efforts because of the fact that she was willing to do whatever she could do to help. We look at both of those with the widow and her two mites, and then also the woman with the oil anointing Jesus' body for burial. We look at those things. They may not be enough in value according to our eyes, monetarily speaking. But they were doing whatever they could do. Notice both of those examples. They did what they could do. Even though it may not be much, Jesus still blesses them for their efforts because that was the best that they could do. They had a zeal for God. They had a zeal and excitement to go and do whatever they possibly could do to help out in whatever way. I want you to consider one more example this morning, a positive example, the Apostle Paul. Now we look at two of them that maybe not having as much, you know, they did whatever they could do, but Paul we know and read about throughout almost the entire New Testament. We read about all of his letters that he writes and his works that was going on in the book of Acts, all of his traveling and how he was encouraging, strengthening the apostles and the Christians and the disciples everywhere throughout the world. I want you to consider with me in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, looking at verse 20. He says, "And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundations." The Apostle Paul. Paul's zeal for the Lord is unparalleled in the New Testament. If we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, again, looking there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want you to consider with me verse 10 for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, looking at verse 10, says here, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Paul labored diligently in the work for God. You remember in Acts chapter 9 when he was converted, when he was baptized, what was the first thing that we read about after his conversion? He immediately went into the synagogues preaching Jesus as the Christ. And it didn't stop. That was just the beginning point. We read about all the great works that Paul did in going throughout region to region. We're studying there in Worcester on Sunday night right now, the book of Galatians. And we can see in how different churches in that region of Galatia, how they were receiving the gospel. And Paul never stopped preaching the gospel. We read over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the fact that he fought the good fight of faith, until death. He preached the gospel until he could no longer preach because he was no longer breathing on this earth. He was willing to strive in his efforts to teach the truth to the lost. He was excited about this, and we could see about that in Acts chapter 9, how he began preaching the gospel. We have God's power to help us today. If we go over to Colossians chapter 1, one of Paul's letters. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 28. Paul says, "Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. We have God's power to help us today because of the fact that Paul went, along with the rest of the apostles, to go and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus giving the Great Commission. He says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And we read about the apostles doing this. We read a lot about Paul and his efforts. And right here in Colossians chapter 1, he says, him we preach, warning every man. And warning every man in all wisdom, that we may present Christ. This was Paul's efforts. And we look at these positive examples. As a result of Paul and his zeal, along with the rest of the apostles, Paul and the other apostles, as if you go over to Acts chapter 17, looking at verse 6, were ones that, as we read, turned the world upside down. Acts chapter 17, looking at verse 6, says, but when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Now we look at all three of those examples. I want you to, in looking at all three of these examples, I want you to consider they all have one similarity. They were all passionate for God, and they did what they could do. Widow and her two mites, she gave all that she could. The widow, or the woman with the alabaster flask of oil, she gave all that she could do. Paul, he did whatever he could do. And his goal and his work that he could do was to preach the gospel. All three of these individuals, positive examples, they gave everything that they could possibly do to help further the gospel. And that's how we can look today. If we give our best to God, we're doing the best that we can do. If we give God our all, we're doing the best that we can do. Use our talents, use everything to be able to further spread the gospel, to be able to reach the lost, to be able to encourage one another. We need to put our best efforts in. But I want you to consider some examples with wrong intentions. I want you to consider the fact that proper zeal must be used with correct authority. We have to be mindful. As we talk about zeal this morning, we have to be mindful of the fact that we have to use the right authority. Because sometimes our zeal, our passion, can go in the wrong direction. Many exhibit strong zeal, but they do it with misplaced affection. Look at the description of Israel. Just consider me for a moment in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, looking at verses 2 and also verse 3. Romans chapter 10, beginning of verse 2, says, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. Now notice, stop right there. What did Paul say? They had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Zeal must be used with the right authority. We look in the New Testament with Israel. They were passionate. We look at their fall in the Old Testament and see, and getting into the New Testament, they were very passionate. But the problem was that they fell away from God. They rejected God. They forgot, as Paul was mentioning, submitting to the righteousness of God. They were deeply involved in their own religion, but were not acting by the authority of God. This was their downfall. The fact that they forgot about God, did not submit to God, turned away from God, they were being ignorant because they didn't have the knowledge. They had zeal, but they didn't have the correct knowledge. I want you to consider another example, another group of individuals that we read about a lot in the Gospels is the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, beginning with verse 15. We're studying on Sunday morning right now the book of Mark, and we're getting a good introduction into some of the works of the Pharisees and some of the, and how they're trying to catch Jesus at a weak point, trying to catch him at some sort of error. They're trying to test him constantly. And we can see how they were zealous. Notice with me there in Matthew 23, verse 15, says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." Notice what's said here. You travel land and sea. You go all over the place to win one proselyte. Can we say they have zeal? You know, you think about that and think about what's said over in Matthew 28 and Jesus giving that great commission, another verse is pointed out. You know, Jesus pointed out to go preach the gospel to every creature. Go land and sea, basically. Here the Pharisees are. They got that same type of zeal, couldn't we say? They were passionate to go and to win one proselyte over. Very passionate, very zealous in trying to do so. They worked very hard to convert one person. But notice what Jesus says here. They have a zeal, they have a passion. It says, when he is one, when you make that one proselyte, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. They're worse off than were before they were converted. Before the conversion, before they were obeyed the Pharisees' doctrine, they were better off because they weren't led astray. But yet the Pharisees, they have that zeal. They had that passion. But again, it's with misplaced affection. It's without proper knowledge. And notice they were condemned. There at the beginning part of the verse, they were condemned for their hypocrisy. They were condemned for their dishonesty, their deceitfulness. They were lying to one another and lying to those that they were converting, saying that this was the gospel, basically. Leaving one worse off because they have false hope. You know, we looked at Paul, the Apostle Paul, as a good example. What about before he was converted? I want you to consider with me. I want to look at Acts chapter 22. Paul revisiting one of his conversion, one of his times of his conversion. In Acts chapter 22, I want to begin with verse 3. He says, "I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous towards God as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women." What was Gamaliel? Remember studying in Acts chapter 5 about Gamaliel? He was a Pharisee. A man that upheld the law. Notice what Paul is saying. He says, "I was taught according to the strictness of our fathers." He says, "I persecuted this way," speaking of the way of Christ, speaking about reaching to the lost and preaching the gospel, preaching Jesus as the Christ. He says, "I persecuted. I did whatever I could to stop this way." I want you to consider with me as well. I want to read Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, looking at verses 13 and 14. Galatians chapter 1, looking at verses 13 and 14, he says, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers." Saul of Tarsus. Again, a man that we looked at just a few moments ago as being a good example. Before his conversion, before he met Christ on the road towards Damascus, here he is, he's standing there, going to go and do what? Going to go put more Christians into prison. Those that are proclaiming the way, I'm going to try to destroy it, was what Saul was doing. That was his thinking, that was his mentality. As we read in Acts chapter 7 and chapter 8, he was wreaking havoc on the church to the point, as we read here in Galatians, that he tried to destroy it. But we read both those verses in Acts chapter 22 and Galatians chapter 1. There's something that's said right there in both of them. He says, "I went with the traditions of my fathers." Saul's zeal for Jewish traditions caused him to do many contrary things in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He did so many different terrible things. Tried to stop the cause of Christ. Tried to destroy it. Tried to kill. He was there witnessing with Stephen being stoned. He was there trying to wreak havoc where they continued to spread the gospel. He was even went to other cities, other nations, to go and throw Christians into prison. We could say Paul, or Saul as we know him at this time, he had a zeal. He had a passion, but it was with misplaced affection. It was without knowledge, proper knowledge, without proper wisdom. And he did whatever he could to stop it. As we read over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, I want you to look at verse 15 with me. Towards the beginning of his letters to Timothy, he says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul labeled himself as chief of sinners because of his zeal, because of his passion to try to stop the cause of Christ at any cost. Whether it was meant to take life or just throw them into prison till they died in prison. He labeled himself as the chief of sinners. We can say Saul had a zeal with misplaced affection. He didn't have the proper knowledge. But notice what happened when he did gain the proper knowledge. He was just as zealous trying to commit people into prison as he was preaching the gospel, preaching Jesus as the Christ. I want you to consider one more example with me. In John chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. John chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. I want you to consider the example of the temple money changers. John chapter 2, beginning of verse 13, says, Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." They turned the house of the Lord into a den of thieves. as we read over Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. Because of their extreme zeal for the Lord with misplaced affection, they turned the temple, the place of worship, into a den of thieves. Jesus, in his zeal for God, purged the temple, cleaning them out, whipping them out. That would be an event to see. We always talk about Jesus and his compassion and his love. And here he is with whipping cords, whip made of cords, driving people out of the temple. Jesus had a zeal for God to do whatever he could to try to cleanse the temple. But the money changers, again, had the extreme zeal, turning the house of the Lord into a den of thieves. Eventually, as we read, Jesus, in doing this, fulfilled Old Testament prophecies that we read over in Psalm 69, verse 9, also Psalm 119, verse 139. I want you to consider, in looking at these different examples, we can see that we do have to be mindful of our zeal as being a Christian. I want you to consider how, as we look this morning, at this study this morning on the subject of zeal, I hope and pray that as we look at this morning, that it may have put some sort of excitement back into our study, back into our worship service. I hope that we can look this week and be able to become uplifted and become more excited, more passionate about God and his will and being able to spread the gospel. Because that's what zeal does. Zeal builds us up, gives us that fire as we were talking about, ignites us, and it should get us to be passionate for heaven. Be passionate for God, to be excited, to be enthusiastic about our role as being a Christian. Genuine enthusiasm is contagious. If you're excited about God, others will see that, and they'll become excited about God. You know, if we're all excited about God, others in the world and throughout this community, they'll see it. It is a contagious thing when we become excited and passionate for God. And it motivates us also. And it motivates others. Zeal brightens our day. It makes each day exciting. Our passion for God should get us excited to brighten up that day, to get us going, and make each day a new and exciting day of being able to share the gospel with whomever we can, by our word and by our action. Zeal causes us to be concerned for others. To be concerned about their spiritual state. To be concerned that they may be lost and we want to try to encourage and help them in any type of way. If you turn with me over to Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. Colossians chapter 4, beginning with verse 12. Says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. For I bear them witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those who are in Hierapolis. Epaphras, we don't read much about him, but we read here at the conclusion of the letter to Colossae that he had a passion to help and encourage others as he could. Zeal causes concern. For us to be concerned for others. The zealous. I want you to consider this morning. The zealous do not have to be reminded constantly of their duties because they're willing and excited and wanting to do whatever they can. Just like as we were looking at those positive examples this morning, they did whatever they could do. They weren't told to do it. They didn't have to be reminded that they needed to go do that. They did it because they desired to do it themselves. We have a meeting going on this week. I hope and pray that as we look at this meeting this week, that we become excited, that we make every opportunity. I want to challenge yourself this week. I know some have to work, but we need to try to make every opportunity we can to come together, to serve the Lord. This is part of our duty. This is part of our zeal that should be igniting us and should also be an encouragement to others. Because the zealous are willing to pay the price to do whatever it takes to serve God. Zeal causes us to seek and save the lost, to reach out to those who are in need, to reach out to those and share with others the good news that God has care for them, that God has offered His Son to make way the hope of heaven with everyone who believes and will obey the gospel. I want you to consider, as we looked at Laodicea, we look in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, as Jesus talking to them, being one of the churches in Asia Minor. He says they were told to repent and be zealous. I imagine if someone did this, Jesus kind of says, repent and be zealous. Sometimes we think we already are. What about you? Sometimes we think that we're already zealous, but sometimes we may have with a misplaced affection. Sometimes we may not be zealous at all. What about us? Are we gathered here today to be excited about God and His will, be excited about Jesus Christ giving His life for us? Are we excited about those things? I sure hope and pray this morning as we looked at this subject of zeal that we could get a better understanding of what zeal is. We look at some positive examples, and we also have to be mindful that zeal with misplaced affection can also be a negative thing. So as we look at this morning, we need to be passionate. We need to be excited for God and His will. And I hope that we got a better understanding of this morning. Thank you for your kind attention.